What's good, everyone? My name is Jacob Moses, community builder at Strongtowns, and welcome to It's the Little Things, a Strongtowns podcast where in each episode, we focus on a different action that you, the concerned citizen, the elected official, the city planner, can take to make your town stronger. This episode's action: breaking down silos in rural communities. In rural communities across the country, state agencies work with local leaders to help them navigate their needs and choose which projects would most benefit their community. These relationships are essential to rural communities. However, there's often a common issue. Many of these state agencies are unaware of the work other agencies are doing in the same community. The result? Rural communities become confused about which agencies they should contact for certain resources, and often, there are redundant efforts by the agencies. In this episode, I chat with Jordan Catcher, Community Development Specialist at the Community Development Office for the State of Utah, who, with the help of her team, have created the Rural Coordinating Council, a new initiative from the State of Utah to help break these silos in rural communities. Jordan dives deep into how the Rural Coordinating Council works and shares helpful tips on how government employees can introduce similar programs in their own states, including how to choose who to get involved in the process, how to understand the needs of rural communities, and most important, how breaking silos in rural communities can make our town stronger. Enjoy. Hey there, Jordan. How are you today?
Good. How are you doing, Jacob?
I'm doing good. Doing good. How's life in Salt Lake City?
Salt Lake City is beautiful and things are going great.
Wonderful. I'm so happy to hear it. Well, Jordan, super pumped to have you on the podcast today. We have a great action to cover together, and that is breaking down silos in rural communities. And I know this is totally relates to a new initiative that you and your team over at the Community Development Office for the State of Utah created, which is called the Rural Coordinating Council. And you guys got some great stuff going on, and you got some great insights to share with our listeners. It's going to be a good chat.
Great.
Yeah. Well, Jordan, to get us started, before we dive into what the RCC is all about, I'd love to start by just learning more about the work you and your team are doing at the Community Development Office.
Yeah, definitely. So our office is, you know, we're all housed in Salt Lake City, and we have staff that basically do a bunch of community development related projects and programs. So under our office, we have the Community Development Block Grant staff, and we also have staff for our Community Impact Board who essentially fund our position. And so we've got four planners on the state level that essentially support our planners out in our regions. We work with an association of governments, and so we have essentially, for example, my region is the five county association of governments, and so I support five counties in southwestern Utah. And we do everything planning related, essentially. So, you know, we'll go into communities and essentially figure out what their capacity is and how we can provide resources that are beneficial to them. And then at the same time, we also provide funding such as grants and loans for public infrastructure. It's a really fun job because we get to be flexible in the support that we give to our communities.
And I imagine representing communities on the state level, you guys probably have a lot to keep track of.
Yes.
What kind of work have y'all been doing specifically in rural communities?
So essentially, the premise of our work, especially as the planners in our office, is to specifically support rural. Essentially, we have this Wasatch Front area around Salt Lake City that has a lot of growth and a lot of capacity, but then you end up with these counties in the rest of the state where there may be 3 to 4 communities. The total population for the whole county could be like 1,200 people. And so really looking at the stark differences in what resources, opportunities are available in these smaller communities compared to, you know, the big cities. And we are really attuned to that. And we also understand and love the fact that each of our communities are so different. And so we try to take more of a tailored approach of, for example, if I'm working in a community and I find a need, a gap, and I can create a resource for that community, it's then, for the most part, applicable to the rest of the state, because odds are a number of our communities are often struggling with the same sort of issues. So Yeah, so it's kind of all over the place, but very tailored toward specific needs, whether it's a gateway community right next to a national park, or it's a community that's been dependent on natural resources or, you know, tourism, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so you're in these rural communities, Jordan, chatting with different stakeholders to figure out what their needs are. What did you and your team notice that motivated y'all to start the RCC?
I think a big part of it is, so currently we are conducting sort of a baseline survey of all of our rural communities in the state to figure out their capacity, but also to really figure out what training and resources they know of available to them in the state. And something that we started to realize is that there are a number of really great organizations and agencies working in rural Utah, but some of our local leaders aren't aware of the services that they offer. We've started to see a bit of a disconnect in, you know, what's available, what programs, what funding is out there, but also how do people know about them or know when to access them?
How does it usually work, Jordan? So say I'm the head of economic development for a rural community. I see a need to kind of refurbish some vacant buildings in my main street downtown. What's usually the first step that these people take to seek out state agency resources?
So it depends. So we have, through our association of governments, we have planners on the ground. And so especially for our office, we like to sort of work through that framework to make it simple. For instance, if we have a regional planner in Five County, if they're talking to a community, they figure out the needs of that community, then they would contact our office and we would sort of make that connection. But sometimes too, they'll go through, you know, either the county themselves who have particular departments that are applicable, or sometimes it's just contacts that they've worked with in the past, you know? And that's sort of something that we wanted to work on, is sort of a unified channel for how to simplify the process for our communities to interact with so many different agencies and so many staff that work there too.
Yeah. I was looking over the one cheater that you sent me, Jordan, prior to this call, and you noted that one of the issues that y'all noticed was there were redundant efforts among state agencies. How was those redundant efforts, what issues were those creating for some of these rural communities that y'all hope to solve with the RCC?
I think something that our office likes to, the way we think of community development is we think of it really comprehensively. And so for us, you know, whether you're working on a project that is for housing or public services or education, everything is affected by and affects one another. And so when we would have particular state agencies working, you know, you work through a framework that you know. And so, you know, if you're water quality or if you're economic development or, you know, what have you, that's sort of the lens that you work in. And so I think what we were finding most often is that, you know, there's a lot of overlap in the work that we do, whether it's, you know, Heritage and Arts doing a cultural plan, or whether it's our governor's office of economic development doing small, you know, business tax incentives. You know, it's like they, you know, if we want to grow economically, we have to have the housing in place. We have to have the services in place. And I think that that was a big thing for us, is to kind of share amongst ourselves this understanding that we all, you know, even if our work is a little different, it's all really similar too.
That's wonderful, Jordan. So for the listeners who are maybe unfamiliar with rural communities, can you talk a little bit more about why it's so essential for these rural communities to be able to effectively receive state agency resources, and really what issue it can pose if there is too much redundancy and lack of knowledge about where to even go to seek out these resources?
Our office talks a lot about rural and what rural is, and, you know, is it a town of 100, 1,000, 10,000, and it's fascinating to see the differences in those sizes as far as capacity goes. You know, I was just doing a site visit last week in a town of 900 compared to a town of 5,000. It's like, I think that if there's greater relationships with our local communities and their own state government, I feel like that bridges a lot of divides that perhaps have existed. It just builds more trust and more transparency. And it also just, it makes us more efficient. You know, I think that for, you know, especially for our whole office, I mean, we love rural Utah. We're from rural communities. And I think that that passion should translate into really efficient programming that's easy for people to access and beneficial for them too.
So what's an example of what could happen to a rural community if they weren't aware of some of these state agency resources?
A number of things. I mean, some things could just not get done, right? Because it just might not be affordable, or they may end up spending a lot of their budget that could go to other services on something that we could provide either for free or provide the tools to make it happen. You know, one of those is the concept of general plans for our communities. Other states can call them comprehensive plans or what have you, but they're essentially the roadblock of where you want your community to go. And so for a number of our towns, they don't have the funding to hire a consultant. And so instead of thinking, oh, we'll never be able to update our plan, we really strive to be like, hey, like, let's, I love general plans. So I get really excited about the aspect of, like, you know, coming together as a community and kind of putting that vision together. And so, yeah, so we'll do workshops and we'll try to figure out, we'll break it down into sizable chunks. Cause that's essentially what our office really does, is we try to take abstract, maybe more difficult planning concepts and ideas and really simplify them, both for ourselves sometimes, but also for the individuals out in these communities.
So you talked earlier about having a holistic approach when you're working with these rural communities. You know, you make these site visits and yeah, y'all may have a shared language, a shared understanding of the needs of these rural communities. But Jordan, when you actually are on the ground visiting these people, how do you build rapport with different stakeholders and kind of understand each other's hearts and that you are for one another and help discover their needs?
I think for this experience in my role here and even in previous positions in the past, you know, it's so important to build respect and understanding. You know, it's like, I'm never going to understand what it was like to grow up in a particular community in Utah because I didn't grow up in Utah. And I think that having that patience and that's one thing that I think really helps in working in any community setting is this essence of having like a really open heart. I feel, and it sounds kind of corny, but I think that when people see a genuine, interests and they feel safe with you, I feel like that can open up a lot, because I think as a state entity, you know, sometimes going into communities, we'll ask them certain questions and I feel like they feel a pressure to not be completely honest because they might be afraid that, you know, they're not doing something right. Or, but it's so important, and something that we always do is that we're like, hey, you know, we're not here to punish you, or to, you know, we're here to figure out where the gaps are so that, so that we can actually get something done together. But it's a process, you know. I think that there's so many different contexts of how we build relationships, but it all stems from patience, and it's ever evolving, right? Cause you have local leaders that will come and go, and, but sometimes you have staff that have been there for a long time. So it's a constant process. And it feels really great when I go back into communities and, you know, they'll recognize me, or, you know, and I feel like it's that face-to-face interaction. Cause I think being in the city, it's like, it's such a disconnect between these communities. So we try to get on the ground as much as possible so that we can really show them that, yes, we, you know, we've always cared, but we really care and we really want to be here in person for you.
Yeah. And y'all totally make that apparent on the little one pager description of the RCC that you sent me as well. Y'all verbatim say the RCC is a grassroots effort.
Yep.
So you're going into these communities, meeting with stakeholders. You may be already brainstorming a few solutions that can help these rural communities, but to really make it a grassroots effort, how do you encourage these stakeholders to, you know, make this process their own and adapt it as they need?
Well, that's great. That's a great question, because it's like, this is, so the Rural Coordinating Council is essentially a pilot, right? It's trying to figure out, we have all these different people working in the same communities. So we're starting off by sort of getting to know one another from that state agency level. You know, it's like, we have so many different programs and funding streams that I don't even know of. And I think a big part of it is, when we're working in communities, yes, we know what we offer, but we should also know what other agencies offer too. That way, it's just more comprehensive. And so I think down the road of like us first understanding what we offer and then getting to a point of simplifying that for the community, so sort of that next step. And it's both exciting, but it's also a little intimidating too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially for me. I mean, I've just been in this role for 6 months. And so you know, someone fresh out of graduate school that's like, yeah, we're going to tear down these silos. And, you know, it's a great aspiration and I'm so excited, but I'm really eager to work with everyone and sort of experiment and see how to create this channel. Cause not everyone connects with communities the same way on the agency level. Some of them are a little bit more behind the scenes and don't get to travel as often, and others have a lot of capacity where they're out there more often too. So, yeah, that's like, it's almost like a to be determined lesson too of how to come up with a communication channel that works for the majority of everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was the RCC, is this a new concept, or did you and your team look at other states doing comparable efforts?
So this has been a brainchild for a number of years in my office. We had a coworker at the time that almost thought of it as like an Avengers of state government, you know, essentially everyone sort of coming together. And when I came on board, I was like, yes, like that's one of the things that I love the most is I love meeting people with no agenda, you know, and just learning from each other and seeing where the connections come into play. And so with this Rural Coordinating Council, you know, my supervisor was like, let's do it, you know, let's hit the ground running and sort of see what happens out of this. So we essentially put together an agenda. We invited a number of agencies and organizations that are working in rural Utah. And I wanted to make it seem like a really put together initiative because I want to be mindful of people's time, you know, and I want them to be excited about this initiative. So we hosted our first kickoff in the Capitol building, which is always really exciting to have the opportunity to go there. And yeah, we came, you know, we started all these different discussions about, you know, do we want to join the Main Street America program or do we want to start our own version? How do we want to get the word out about our resources? And so our meeting was on December 4th of 2018. Our next meeting will be after the legislature closes in mid-March. And so we're going to form a steering committee and get a little bit more of a central leadership. That way it's not coming just through our office. Because we want everyone to sort of have their own agency in this process and really form it to what it can look like. Because I think that if any one agency sort of takes it on, I think that you get much more buy-in if it's a joint effort. And so we're mindful of that and excited. That's why I was excited to do your podcast too, is that if anyone listening had either had experience in forming sort of a joint effort on a state government level or would be curious of doing so, you know, I'd love to talk about what that process has looked like and get any tips. And because it's kind of a big task.
It is. And just the couple months you guys have been at it, you guys are already making some great progress.
Yeah.
Jordan, for listeners who maybe they work on the state level and they're getting excited about this RCC concept that you're discussing. I know it's been a short time, only a couple of months you guys have been working on it. But for listeners who are interested in implementing something similar in their own states, do you have any tips on how they can adopt a similar approach or any action items that they can take to start building something similar?
Definitely. So I think one thing that we were mindful of when we were sort of putting together who should be involved in this coordinating council is we wanted awareness from, you know, directors and managers that are a bit on that higher level that, you know, for their awareness of what's going on. But we really wanted those at the table that are doing the work on the ground. We felt like that was a really good model for us to use because we want to begin to implement strategic doing elements into this process. And so essentially what that means is we'll form working groups amongst each other and commit to doing, you know, an hour, 2 hour, 3 hours a week on a designated project to actually see it move forward. And I think that's what's going to keep this alive because I think that there's been a lot of talk about this concept of like meeting just to meet, you know, it's like, okay, let's go over the updates. And it just kind of becomes a stagnant process. But for us, we were like, you know, we want to see things move forward. So for instance, when we had our kickoff in December, we had created an assignment for everyone to write down, you know, what programs they offer, what information is available, do they do any training, do they have any funding streams, and then we're going to put that together into an inventory and share that at our next meeting so that people can actually see a tangible outcome of, you know, just between two meetings. And I think that's huge for morale for the group. But yeah, any way you can actually get things done. That was like one of the goals I'd put in there. And it's so simple. And you know, I serve with AmeriCorps, so I'm a very get things done kind of lady. But I think that that's what sort of keeps people going. And also, I mean, I've done from our first meeting, I think there was a bit of hesitancy to make actual decisions. And so we ended up just putting together an anonymous survey between everyone in that group to sort of get an idea of some of the larger decisions that we wanted to make. And I think, yeah, I guess down a list would be, you know, to be as professional as possible, to be as prepared as possible for these kinds of gatherings, because people are taking the time out of their day to come together. Mm-hmm. And so being mindful of that. And then incorporating as many ways as possible for people to have input, I think is huge. Because obviously not everyone is going to have the same thoughts or ideas about the same concept, but being able to look at as many sides as possible is huge. We've also asked if they would like to host future meetings at different locations. And so each agency has decided that, that they'll take that on, which I think will create more of a buy-in process by having them physically host us in these gathering places.
But the state capitol.
I know.
We're like really hoping that everyone will just
visit. It's so cool.
I love it.
Well, Jordan, fast forward 2 years.
Yes.
What do you hope the RCC has achieved?
Oh, so much. I hope that we've created a streamlined, simple process so that any of our local leaders in their towns, you know, whether it's a mayor of 500 people or 10,000, knows how to access state resources and doesn't feel like they're too out of reach. I also hope that for the agencies working in rural Utah, that we've gotten to a point where we know what's going on, we're aware of other initiatives, and we're able to collaborate when it's most appropriate. Just more comprehensive, more understanding, and, you know, starting small. But yeah, 2 years down the road, I would love to see this be, you know, a strong steering committee that has been able to inspire each other in the work that we do and also inspire more trust and better relationships with our communities. So that's the dream.
Beautiful. Well, Jordan, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us. To wrap up, and this is the question that we end every podcast with, how does this particular action, breaking down silos in rural communities, make our town stronger?
It unifies us, you know, it breaks down divides, and I see so many benefits with it, but I think one of the largest ones is support. I think support in knowing that our communities don't have to do everything on their own, and that they have so much power in the fact that they're here and that they're doing things, but that they also have a helping hand along the way too. And I feel like once that support exists, then communities can just absolutely thrive in any capacity. And we've seen that in our state. And so, yeah, excited to just see how they bloom, you know, whether they stay the same in size or whether they decide to grow or they decide to shrink or whatever the path is that they choose for themselves, knowing that they have all the resources in place to actually go in whatever direction they want to go in is my dream.
Love it, Jordan. That's what makes me most hopeful as well, is just knowing that there's like a champion for the rural community on the state level. I mean, I even think about, like, here in Denton, Texas, we recently hired a bike pedestrian coordinator. And just knowing that there's someone in local government that's a champion for the cyclist and the pedestrian. Mm-hmm. So I commend y'all for your work. I know there's got to be some good things coming up in the future.
Thank you, Jacob.
Yeah. Well, Jordan, if anyone wants to learn more about you and the work you guys are doing with the Rural Coordinate Council, where can people learn more about it online?
So we currently don't have anything up on our website. We're going through a bit of a transition, but we'd love to have at some point some sort of central site where people can go to. But in terms of, you know, communicating, since we're in our pilot phase and all of that, I mean, people can absolutely reach me by email. They can reach me at jkatcher, that's jcatcher, @utah.gov. And yeah, shoot me an email, give me some thoughts. If you have any, or if you have any questions, I'd love to talk about how, if you want to help break down some government silos in your state, or you've already done something similar, I'd love to just share as much information and learn from each other as possible.
Awesome. Well, Jordan, thank you so much. And we will chat very soon.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Jacob.
Thanks, Jordan. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone. If you're enjoying the content, please subscribe to It's the Little Things on iTunes, and we will chat next week. See ya.